She Did It Her Way podcast, episode 213, Finding Your Tribe, a collection of mini interviews with female entrepreneurs.
Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, a collective of interviews with top female entrepreneurs from around the globe who have done it their way. These women are disruptors, savvy, courageous, confident, innovative, decisive, unconventional, and humble. Our ladies have proven business models, have taken risks, and have failed only for success to follow. Join us as they share their stories, behaviors, habits, mindset, thought processes, and what it is like to be a woman who means business. And now, here's your host, Amanda Bolin.
Hey, She Did It Her Way listeners. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of the podcast. As always, I'm very grateful for each and every one of you for tuning in. And whether you've been here for a long time listener from the beginning, or you're just tuning in maybe for the first time, I'm so happy, grateful, and thankful that you are here. Now, today's episode is a collection of mini interviews with female entrepreneurs from all different variations of the journey. I've pulled interviews with women who are at the early stages of their journey, from launching their business as a side hustle while they're running their full-time gig, all the way up until they've taken the leap and now they're running their own business. And thanks to Jessica Zweig, who used to be on the podcast, but was on the podcast and is the founder of Simply Be Agency. She hosted an incredible night in Chicago for finding your tribe and really surrounding yourself with the women and that community that lifts you up and encourages you and pushes you. So we're talking with Kat Aldana, who is the creator of Eat Stretch Nap. We're talking with Sarah Russo, who is a holistic trained chef. We're also talking with Silviana Favoretto, who is the founder of The Tool Project. Also, Reverend Lola Wright, who is the author at Bodhi Spiritual Center, which is a center for transformation and liberation. And they are a non-religious center that provides people with Sunday services, classes, workshops, and special events. Their mission is to be a place that gives people a sense of community without any sort of traditional religious teachings. And through this, talking to Lola, she is a badass. And I, just talking to any of these women, it is really insightful and amazing to hear their stories from the beginning all the way to the end, and to be given insight into what has really made their journey unique and what has made them who they are and how they've overcome adversities and struggles in their journey as well. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode as much as I did enjoy at the time doing the interviews as well. And just to let you guys know, the interviews were done at a home in a home office, and there were roughly about 40 to 50 women there. So you might hear some dialogue going in the background or some noise. So just please be patient with that. Maybe you might even hear a dog or two barking, but I promise you the content and everything that's coming delivered is definitely well worth listening into.
Sometimes I don't know how to start these off, which I just laugh about, but we're at Jessica Zweig's little tribe gathering, and it is all about coming together and supporting female entrepreneurs within the Chicago area, and I am super honored that she has asked She Did It Her Way to be a part of it. So coming up through this podcast episode, you guys are going to be able to tune in and listen to various female founders in Chicago who all have businesses, who are taking leaps and making moves and taking action towards their goals. So first up, we have Sarah Russo, who is a chef, entrepreneur, and creative. Sarah, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yes. Well, since I have you for about this 5 to 7 minutes, let's get straight to the point. Tell us in 60 seconds or less, what is it that you do?
Oh, in 60 seconds or less?
Yes.
Come on. Okay, so I am a holistically trained chef. I focus on foods that are really good for you in their whole form. That's what it means to be a holistic chef. I work with clients in their homes. I work with corporate offices, businesses, just to create really good eating habits, meal plans. Privately, I work as a chef in people's homes, mostly. Yeah, it's really, really fun. Mostly people with food allergies, some type of food restriction, whether it's celiac disease or they're paleo by choice, just anything that they want to do to achieve food. Eating food for health versus eating it just for pleasure. So yeah, I have a I really think I have like one of the best jobs in the world. I'm really passionate about what I do. I love my clients, and it's great to wake up every day and to serve these people.
Yeah. So how come, like, what made you decide to become a chef and do it on your own versus deciding to go work under someone else when you could have had more of a steady stream of income?
Sure. Or... yeah. You know, people ask me all the time, like, was that step easy? And no, it's not. It's daunting. It's scary. And I think, you know, as other entrepreneurs would say, it takes a good leap of faith to really trust yourself and trust that you're doing things for the right reason, that that you're good at this. And what really made me want to do it for myself versus working for someone else was that this is a very niche audience. There isn't a restaurant just for people who want to be healthy. There isn't, you know, a cafeteria, a place that I could work with people of this particular like niche category. And so I started to do it by myself. There are people that I could work under to learn more, and I have. I've done a lot of great internships and have learned a lot, but I think especially as a natural food chef, someone who's health-focused, because the nutrition information is changing all the time, it's really about you getting into the kitchen and trying, and see what works. Now, that's a lot of failure at first, but then when you nail that, you know, gluten-free, dairy-free, grain-free, sugar-free, double chocolate brownie,
you can have some air.
Air will give you some air. Yeah, it's the best day.
What is something that you are currently working on in your business?
So I have my personal chef business, but something I'm really excited about that I've started is a organic popsicle company called Yum Pops. And it's Chicago-based right now, and we have a little cart, and we go out in the summertime, and we sell dairy-free, gluten-free, sugar-free creamsicles.
Dang.
And popsicles, and they're coconut milk-based, and then the fruit ones are all local fruits. They're creative, so like blueberry basil and coconut horchata dream, just really fun flavors, but super health-forward, so we never use refined sugars and all of that. It's been a seasonal business thus far, but we're finally taking the leap, and we're going to have a storefront in Chicago next summer. So I'm super excited about that reveal, and it's a little daunting.
Yeah.
You know,
it's an overhead.
Yeah, overhead. It's some trust, maybe getting some financing, and a little bit bigger project than I imagined, but I think it's really going to spearhead the next phase of our business.
What goes through your mind when you, I mean, I'm even hesitant to use the word failure because everybody looks at what failure is in a different lens. So
sure.
It's a different perspective, right? But when you experience something that just like cuts you in the gut and you're like, oh my gosh, like, do I close up shop? Like all these like thoughts
sure.
have to, some maybe don't have to, but they flood in. How do you overcome those thoughts? Like, how do you overcome
them? Yeah. Well, a little bit of self-reflection for sure. It's very humbling to pull something completely burnt out of the oven. But for something bigger steps, I heard this once, I can't remember where, but you can fail well or you can fail poorly. And as long as you're failing well, it's not a failure at all. It's actually a great way to learn. So if I'm in my business and things are not looking good, but I keep investing all of my personal assets and my money and everything into something that I know is failing, that's not actually failing well. But if we did everything we could, we protected ourselves and we did the best we could and it just didn't work out, we learned from that situation. So how I protect myself as a business owner is I have a lot of good people in my life that I can get some advice from. But even if it's a business decision where they've advised me and I've tried and it just didn't work out, to me, that's not failure. You know, that's really learning from your experience. And so then the next business will get a little dose of that information.
Just keep going.
Just keep going.
I like that. Fail well. Okay, what's your one piece of advice based on your experience that really has stuck with you that you could lend and offer to the listeners?
Yeah, people always ask, so if I go to culinary school and I learn to do what you do, does that mean that I will have the life that I want? Like the job, the money, will I work all of the time? Will I achieve my goals? And it's hard for me to answer that question because I am definitely what you call a go-getter. I'm a hustler. I work really, really hard. I say yes all the time. And I think that's what really stands between people who want to be somewhere and people who get there is them saying yes to the opportunities that are in their path, in the right path, in their trajectory of where they want to be. So say yes.
Love it.
All right, let's do this.
Yeah, next up we've got Kat Aldana, who I was just saying that I absolutely love her last name because it's so beautiful, and she is the founder of Eat, Stretch, Nap. Welcome.
Hi, Amanda.
Hello, fun to meet again.
I know.
It's such a small world in Chicago, but why don't you tell my listeners what is Eat, Stretch, Nap?
Eat, Stretch, Nap is all about just learning how to enjoy life and relax. So, what I do is offer yoga retreats so that people can combine travel and mindfulness and like actually relax. And then I also bring yoga and meditation to the workplace. Because that's where I figured people are the most stressed out. So I might as well try to make it easier on them by bringing those type of services to them.
What were you doing prior to doing Eat, Stretch, Nap?
I was teaching yoga full-time, just in and out of studios, and I was also operations director at Aerial Fitness.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. I've done that before.
Yeah, where you hang on the hard ceiling.
Yes. Yeah. It was an interesting experience, especially after a bachelorette, which was quite hilarious, but I digress.
Oh my gosh, wait. No, don't digress, because I have the funniest stories about people coming to classes there as, like, after a bachelorette party, mm-hmm. and they're just, like, doing jello shots and, like,
what?
Coming out of party buses, like, insane. I'm like, why are you taking a fitness class?
Oh, my gosh.
Drunk.
But no, yeah, that's that, it. We weren't that intense, that's
okay.
For sure. No. So then talk to us about the transition from doing what you're doing before, mm-hmm. and then what made you decide to take the leap and start doing it in corporate wellness and then doing the yoga retreats?
Yeah, so I was presented an opportunity that really made me reflect upon what I wanted next, and that opportunity was basically to open up an aerial studio. And I was like, oh yeah, like of course, like that's the next step. I want to manage a studio. I want to own a studio. Like this is what I want, right? And that's what really made me start thinking about what I actually wanted. I feel like I was at the point where I was just working, you know, like working, doing what I love and just keep like, you know, putting one foot in front of the other. Like, yeah, this is all great. This is all great. But then when that opportunity hit me, it really made me think about what I wanted to do next and be really intentional about it. To be 100% honest, I was kind of burned out at that point without realizing it, just, you know, really loving what I was doing but also really tired.
Yeah.
And working super hard. So I was like, I think this is a sign that I should actually just take a break. And this was like the hardest thing to do because I loved everything I was doing. There was no hard feelings whatsoever. There's no negativity. It was just like, I don't know what to do next, but this isn't it. And this really is the best thing to do. And if that's not what I want, then I probably shouldn't be here. Like I shouldn't be working for this company. I should probably just stop for a little bit.
Well,
so that's what I did.
But that's so, I mean, even sometimes like I personally catch myself where we're in situations. And I always take it back to the frog, where if you put a frog in lukewarm water and then turn up the heat and it boils, the frog, from a relativity standpoint, is not going to jump out of the boiling pot of water. But if you just throw a frog in the boiling pot, it's going to immediately jump out because it knows it's hot.
Yeah.
Where sometimes if things are good and comfortable, it's not as noticeable.
Yes,
so that's like,
yeah.
How did you, I mean, was it just a gut feeling for you to know that it wasn't?
Definitely, yeah. It was like a gut feeling and just really asking myself if that's what I wanted and seeing the trajectory of where I was. Like, that would be the next step, to own a studio, to, like, be an owner. And I was like, I don't think this is for me. And so I gave myself permission to, like, take a break. And it's funny because during that break, I still feel like I'm on a break, but I created Eat Stretch Nap, and it was just meant to be like a lifestyle blog. Like, all I wanted was to just write on my own terms, and the mission of the blog was to help people make choices.
No way.
Because that's where I was in my life. You know, I just was like, if I could just help people make choices, like how to navigate the paradox of choice, that would be super awesome.
How do we make choices?
I know, right? Maybe I should go back to that. I'm still working on it, but what my my method is now is just gaining as much perspective and awareness as possible about whatever it is that I'm trying to decide on. And oh god, I can go into this, like,
keep going.
Okay. And then
because I think it's an important thing to talk about choices, and especially with entrepreneurship, and even from the get-go of like where you came from when you're working at Aerial Fitness to even where you are now in your business, there's choices that come up every single day, and like understanding how to make better choices is always helpful.
Well, the awareness part is key, right? Really understanding what's on what I'm deciding. It doesn't have to be one thing or the other, right? It's just like, what is it that I'm trying to decide? And then just picking an option and knowing that I will learn from that option, and it'll just help me get to know myself better, and then I can make another choice based on that. I feel like a lot of the times I naturally just feel like I choose something and that's it. Like, I'm stuck there forever.
Yeah.
So I have to remember that in part of making choices, it's actually just leading me to something that will help me get to know myself better. And then I'll be able to make choices again based off of that. Like, if I'm not making choices, then I'm not learning about myself, right? And that's kind of how I see it.
That's a great perspective.
Yeah.
I like that. I mean, because if we remember not to put so much pressure that it has to be a specific thing, and I catch myself a lot of times wanting it to be black or white and thinking that it has to be an either or, that you can't have both, or you can't figure out like how to navigate it so that you have a blend of it too.
Right.
As well.
Yeah.
So
like just picking one and then seeing what you learn from it.
Yeah. What, how did you get into corporate wellness, and then how did it transition also into doing yoga retreats?
So doing a retreat or leading a retreat has always been like a dream of mine to do. So I always knew I wanted to do that. So I just started planning that because that's something I really wanted. The corporate wellness part really fell into my lap, and I just ran with it. I was like, okay, sure. Like, opportunities kept coming my way based on people I talked to in classes I was already teaching. So one of the studios that I've taught at for a long time is Equinox Fitness Club.
Yeah.
So just from talking to people after class or before class, people were like, oh, like, I work at this company, we're looking for someone to do this, are you interested? I'm like, yeah. So that happened. I found another gig through Craigslist.
Oh my
gosh. You know, and like ended up being for like this ginormous commercial real estate company. And I'm like, all right, I'll teach in all of your buildings. Like, so it just happened. It just happened. And I let it happen because it's such good money, to be 100% honest. It's like really great income for me.
Hell yeah. Bask in that abundance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, receive.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, that's cool. I'll take it. So I just went with it. And then the retreat part, I had to take that leap of faith, because the hardest part with planning a retreat, people always ask me like how you do it. I'm like, you just do it and hope people come, you know, like not just hope, but you work and you get all that stuff, you know, in place to like get people to want to join or whatever. But that's really all it takes. It's like, you got to sign up, put your name on the line.
And just keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the divine universe comes through. What's one thing that you really learned about yourself on the journey of entrepreneurship thus far?
That I need to chill out.
Says the girl with Eat, Stretch, Nap.
Yes. I feel like I, as an entrepreneur especially, you just get so caught up in like what you can do and what's possible and what everyone else is doing, and comparing yourself to others and seeing like what the next thing is, because that's what you're doing, right? You're problem solving all the time for yourself and like your business.
Mm.
And whenever I do chill out and relax and make plans, but like leave room for magic, like things just work out way better and I don't have to like worry as much. So yeah, it's hard finding that balance, like that giving myself permission to like stop at a certain point. But yeah, that's probably the biggest thing I've learned the past 2 years is like, okay, like I have to stop working or I have to stop for a moment. I have to relax. I have to chill.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think sometimes it's that I don't for mine, my default is wanting if I feel like my world's in chaos and I want to go right into controlling things and putting them in, I go into planning mode. And then it's almost as if it's like, just hold the phone, stop the train, and just do nothing.
Yeah. And or like create enjoy that space. Where you are, right? Like I feel like as soon as I accomplish something, I like celebrate it. Like I've made a point to do that because I know that's important. But then I like quickly get over it.
Yeah, you're like, okay, what's next? Yeah. Okay, move on. Yeah. But I like that, like creating space in order to let that magic happen.
Yeah.
So awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey guys, I want to take a break to give a massive shout out and thanks to HelloFresh, which is today's podcast sponsor. And HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers your favorite step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients so you can just cook, eat, and enjoy. And some of you may have heard me talk about them before, but I absolutely love them. And one of the reasons why I love them is that I can choose when I want the delivery day for me, when it works best for my busy schedule, especially because I'm traveling so much and I want to be able to have that food ready, delivered, and on the go so I can spend more time with my family and in this case, my husband, Mike, cooking with him versus having to run to the grocery store and be a frazzled mess, figuring out what the heck are we going to eat for that evening. Another thing that I love about HelloFresh is that the HelloFresh offers a variety of chef-curated recipes that change weekly, so you're never eating the same meals week after week or month after month, and you're always getting a variety with your meals that you receive as well. And you guys know me, that I am all about how do I make things easier and how can I outsource, and then also how can I make things more simple. And HelloFresh does just that. So you won't spend all night in the kitchen because recipes only take roughly around 30 minutes or less, and it's super simple to read the recipes as well. And again, you get them delivered to your door, so you don't even have to think about it. And it's an easy way to outsource certain parts of your life, especially when you're going through a busy time and you need that sort of delivery meal kit at your service.
Okay, now we are hanging out with Silvana Favoretto, who is the founder of The Tool Project. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Share with my listeners, what is it that you do?
All right, so a couple things. I have an online store where I sell tool skirts, and I empower women to stand out and be bold via the store and via my YouTube channel. And my YouTube channel, I interview women about their challenges, their lives. I want to just portray women as they are, all kinds of women, because we are not all one. Mm-hmm. And hopefully help people to relate to each other more and see like the richness of womanhood.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you, what were you doing before that, and how did you decide to launch the Tool Project?
So I'm an art director, so I do graphic design work, and I'm still doing that and while I'm building the Tool Project, which is just my side hustle. So about a couple years ago, I felt like I had the perfect life, the perfect boyfriend, perfect on paper, quote unquote.
Yeah.
The perfect job, the perfect apartment. I still am in my apartment. It's the only thing that left from that time. But it's more organized and more beautiful now than before. But I rearranged my life. I wanted to do something fun and exciting because doing everything that I was supposed to do wasn't making me happy. Mm. So I did a side project, and that I wanted to do something fun. And one thing after another and after another, there's a lot of like moving pieces that made me create the Tool Project as a side project where I wore two skirts every day for 100 days. And I posted on Instagram every day a different picture, a different outfit wearing two skirts.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And it was the most fun and the most challenging thing I've ever done, because have you worn a twist skirt?
I gotta imagine it's like a wedding dress where it's really hot.
Or no, like... it's not hot, actually. It calls attention.
Okay.
You can't just go out of your house and not people have start staring at you. And it's a twist skirt. Think about Sarah Jessica Parker in Sex in the City wearing that poofy twist skirt.
Sure.
Yeah, so it calls you attention. So every single day I had people looking at me. And then I'll post it on Instagram and on Facebook for my friends. And they were commenting. So it was the most like positive attention immediately, and a lot of that at the same time I've ever got in my life. And sometimes you just want to hide. Sometimes you just don't want to talk to people. And that's kind of didn't feel like an option.
Right.
Because people really like feel so drawn to me when I'm wearing two skirts. For some reason, it makes people happy. And I feel happier. And then they feel happier. And then it's like a cycle. And it's like super cool. So my life has been transformed with this project, and it became an online store, and now it became a YouTube channel, and it's beyond just like those two things. I really want to like empower women to stand out and show up. It's about being part of the table, being part of the room, and know that you're important. Like yeah. Every room that you walk in, this is what I learned. Like every room that I walk in right now, I feel like I make a difference, even when I'm not wearing a twist skirt anymore, because I give that importance to myself now that I didn't have before.
Mm.
Yeah.
I love that you share that going through this experience of wearing a tool project every single day for 100 days made it so that you couldn't hide. And I feel like as women or in entrepreneurship or just in life in general, sometimes we want to hide because it's safer.
Oh, yeah.
And you didn't give yourself an option to hide for 100 days. So from the business side of the tool project, how did you go about sourcing the tools and finding a manufacturer? How did you find the products to then go ahead and turn around and sell on the website?
That actually was the opposite process.
Okay.
While I invested a lot of twist skirts,
yeah,
for my project. I didn't buy 100 skirts, but I bought a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the process of doing that, I found someone that would custom made some of the skirts for me. And when I received these skirts, I was in awe. And I just want to wear it every day. It was so well made and like handmade and like so strong. And so, because I bought like a lot of like Amazon, and they're like fall apart. Mm. And they were like, the tool was too hard, you know, like, and this one was soft and flowy. And I just fell in love with them. And then all my girlfriends fell in love with them. And that's how I reached out to this girl. And I said, hey, if I do this, what can we do? And
sure,
start working in, and you still work with the same person. I try to work with other people that are cheaper or that could do something different for me, but it's just not the same quality, and it's just incredibly fabulous.
Yeah. So one question I do have too, being as someone who, you are an art director and you do graphic design, and then you are working on your side hustle, the tool project, how do you manage your time to make sure that you're still getting what you need to get done in being an art director, and then also making sure that your business with Tool Project is moving forward?
Great question. I'm learning that.
Yeah.
Right now. I felt like in the verge of burnout 2 or 3 times already. And because I put myself into people that are really care about self-care and meaningful interactions and taking care of yourself. So, like I always like go on in like a mini retreat, even if it's just like at my house, taking baths and meditating, and like I started meditating, mm-hmm. like something that I for 5 years I tried to do it, and now I feel like it's just a need, or doing yoga, because if I'm heels walking around everywhere and promoting myself, then like my back hurts a lot, and so if I'm not moving properly, so I feel like this kind of forced me to take care of myself in the way that I wanted to before, but mm-hmm. I didn't. And the time management, I don't sleep as much as I used to, mm-hmm. but I don't know if I need that much sleep. And I feel like I slept more because I didn't have a purpose. And sure. I have a bigger purpose now.
Yeah.
And it's like easier to get up. You know what I mean?
You're more inspired and motivated to get up.
Yes. Yeah. And then, don't get me wrong, a lot of times, most of my mornings, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I have to wake up. And like, I'm sometimes really tired. But, and then I come to an event like this one tonight, and I'm like energized by all the amazing things that other women are doing. It just inspired me. So that energizes me too. So I feed my soul with good company, with meditation, baths, mm-hmm. and massages. I love massages.
Self-care is so important.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, Lola P. Wright, we're just going to chat it up here. Tell us, you're at Bodhi.
Yep.
Spiritual Center.
Yes.
Give us like one sentence what Bodhi is, and then I want to dive a little bit into your journey as like how you got onto this path, and then with energy and mm-hmm. the moon and how mm-hmm. it all impacts everything and how we show up in life today.
Yeah. So Bodhi Spiritual Center is a center for transformation and liberation. We are a non-religious center that exists to provide people with Sunday services, classes, workshops, special events. We tend to attract people who are looking for community but don't want traditional religious dogma mm-hmm. or doctrine. And we say we exist to reveal love, honor all paths, and celebrate life.
Yeah. How did you... What's your path? Like, how did you get into it? And then what?
Yeah. I was raised in the northern suburbs of Chicago, and my parents were married for 22 years. I was raised in a culturally Catholic household. My grandparents were devout social justice Catholics. My mom left my dad in 1992 for a woman that she was having a relationship with in the neighboring town. Mm-hmm. And that was like super scandalous in 1992. And it was clear to me that that was problematic for many people. Around that time, A Tribe Called Quest came out with an album called Midnight Marauder. So it was 1993. And that album changed my world. And I went down a very deep rabbit hole of hip-hop culture and got exposed to Black liberation philosophy and theology, and started to really question the history of Christianity in mm-hmm. this country and really on the planet.
Sure.
And knew that I wanted to have a sense of my spiritual nature, but didn't feel like I didn't feel like religion was a right fit for me. I became a mom at 18. My older children's father grew up in public housing in Chicago, and so we came from vastly different backgrounds.
Yeah.
And I knew that I wanted something for my kids, and again, it wasn't church. So I started looking, found Bodhi, and was like, wow, this is exactly what I believe, and I've been there for 12 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what has changed in your life, or like what has been eye-opening for you that could potentially be eye-opening for other people if they don't currently see it,
yeah.
right?
By the time I got to Bodhi, I was a single mom with $80,000 in debt, receiving no child support, and just struggling. Like, life was a grind. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was doing my part, and I couldn't get ahead. And I couldn't figure out why that was. I was playing life by the rules that I had been told to follow. And I just felt like I was just struggling. And what I sort of got the bug around was there's a creative power for good in the universe, and you can use it. It lives in you. It moves in you. You can call it God, spirit, life, universe, love, freedom. It goes by many names, and I don't even care what you call it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But there's something that's greater than the individual self that's coursing through me, And if I can align myself with it consciously, I can create with it. Mm. And life becomes infinitely easier when I am living in the flow versus living in resistance to the world around me. The challenge is that most people don't even realize that they're living in resistance, you know? And so,
what's a typical, like, what's an example of what might be a typical resistance?
Well, so often, like, I will just say for me, because I got pregnant at 18, and that was such like a trauma and a drama in my world, I went into banking and real estate because it was like, well, I'm going to prove to everyone that I've not royally screwed up my life, and I'm going to go into a noble, you know, job and demonstrate my capacity.
Sure.
Except that, like, I am clearly not on the planet for banking and real estate. And so I created all kinds of just struggle because I was trying to fit in to some idealized version of success rather than honoring my own unique gifts and talents. But, you know, I was living in such a state of survival as like a young single mom that living in pursuit of like my vision, my dream, my dharma was like such a foreign idea. You know, I was just trying to make, like, you know, pay the bills kind of thing.
Sure.
So
what was, if you can look back on it, like, what were some of the things that you started doing to raise your level of consciousness that brought a higher vibration into your being?
One of the stories that I share frequently, because it was the it's the most obvious for me, is I had three girlfriends that I would talk to every night before I went to bed, one or two or three of them. And we would typically just sort of like bitch and moan about the guys we were dating and just like how disappointed we were. They hadn't called or they hadn't done this or that. And through the process of just sort of like waking up, you know, reading, studying, I realized, oh my gosh, like I am just perpetuating this cycle of drama in my relationships, because essentially these three women who I love and adore are like my evening prayer, you know? And so it's like where, you know, I mean, it's like almost cliche, but there's such wisdom in it. It's like where your energy goes, where it's your focused. Attention goes, you know, life flows.
Yeah.
And so if I am affirming over and over and over again at the end of the day in conversation with three girlfriends about my disappointment and upset in the dating relationships that I have, then it's like, and so it is, you know, it's a self-affirming set of circumstances. So for me, just to wake up and go, wow, there is not an externalized power and presence that is pulling the puppet strings of my life, but there is an indwelling presence that I can, again, co-create my existence with. And, you know, the creative process is always at play. We are either in conscious union with the creative process, or we are in unconscious union with the creative process. So
how do you find yourself and create flow? Because I feel like so many people could talk to you how they feel in flow or out of flow. What for you, how do you get yourself into flow?
Well, I would say that becoming a mom at 18 required that I develop really good self-care strategies because it was necessary. So I have always made my well-being a priority out of necessity. I am a big believer in like deep breathing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like really basic.
Because I feel like sometimes we can forget to breathe.
Yeah.
And we like hold in that breath and we clog it.
Yes.
I struggled for over a year and a half with not having the ability to breathe deeply.
Yes.
And then it broke down and I was telling my husband, I'm like, I think physically underneath, I'm physically holding on to all the stress. And I'd like, after I had that breakdown and I'm like, I'm sick and tired of it. I'm done with it.
Yes.
It was like, it was gone.
Yes.
And it still comes back when I don't get a full night's sleep and I'm running on empty, but like I can manage it now much better than that. So,
I mean, if you just think about, I oftentimes joke when I'm leading like meditation experiences, if you are living inside of pants that are constricting your belly, which is so often the case just with women's fashion. Like, we're literally breathing from, like, our chest up.
Right.
We haven't created a physical environment where we can even expand our belly to breathe. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I love a cute outfit, but I'm like, look, if you need to unbutton your pants to have this meditation, get yourself that gift because you need
that
to
dessert.
Breathe.
No. Like, yes, that's where I wear stretchy pants.
Yeah. So I breathe, a big believer in breathing. I'm a big believer in meditation. I have a very devoted practice to prayer, but it's not like the Hail Mary or the Our Father, you know? It's like, I am not praying to God or to something outside of myself. I'm praying from the indwelling presence. So, yeah.
How can the listeners, if you can give them one thing, how can they tap into that voice? Nothing's ever. Well,
that's all right.
We're totally fine. There's obviously dogs here. I think they heard a happy birthday in the background earlier. So, again, I like to keep them real and raw. But
yeah.
Just for those listening, like, what's one thing they can do to tap into listening to that intuition and getting more aware? And then I also, the second part is like, what's a really good book, a starter book for people to get into?
So number one, I think trusting that there is something in you to be listened to. For a lot of people, that is a revolutionary concept. But to trust that you do have an intuitive knowing, there is an intuitive center in your being, and the more you listen to it, the easier it is to hear. Mm-hmm. So when you get that, you know, people talk about like their gut reaction, that's your intuition, you know? And, you know, in traditional Christian tradition, they'll talk about the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's your intuition.
Yeah.
It's what is moving in you. So number one, just believe that that's there.
Sure.
Because it is.
100%.
Yeah. And then a good first book. There are a couple books. Mm-hmm. There's a book called This Thing Called You by Ernest Holmes. Mm-hmm. There's another book called The Art of Life by Ernest Holmes.
I can attest that it's a quick read and so many beautiful gems that you can just go back daily.
And that's the one, The Art of Life?
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
I mean, I think also like Brené Brown is such a hot, you know, speaker and teacher these days, and her work is very accessible for people. So I think she's a great place to start. I love Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he can be a little heady, a little dense for people, but he's brilliant. Who else?
Paulo Coelho.
Yeah.
Don Miguel Ruiz.
Yeah, Don Miguel. You know, The Four Agreements is like very
that's
a great beginning. You know, just a beginning exploration.
And what I love about The Four Agreements is how the one is basically like we can get so wrapped up in what we think other people think of us.
Yes.
But then on the flip side, it's like, wow, we're so arrogant to actually think that we are taking up mind share of other people. Like, who are we to think that we're that important to be on other... Like, nobody's thinking about us.
That's right.
Like, surprise.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
If they are, then it really like doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because
what do you think of you?
Yeah,
that's what
matters.
Right. And because, you know, people have been conditioned to have such a derogatory self-image.
Mm.
You know, in some cases, very obviously so. In many cases, very subtly so. You know, there is this... If you just think about... And I don't want to get on a whole philosophical thing here, but...
You can if you want.
If you think about... If you think about, like, you know, like, traditional religious paradigms, if you think about the notion that you're an original sinner... That is so problematic. Mm-hmm. It affirms that you have something inherently wrong with you.
Yeah.
And I just am like, I have an unwillingness to subscribe to that. It's just not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so damaging to affirm people's brokenness. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, it's like the evolution of consciousness on the planet. All of the suffering that we experience on the planet today is because we are walking around as wounded little children. Mm-hmm. And we're bumping up against other wounded little children rather than affirming our wholeness. You look at a baby. How could you say there's something wrong with Mm-mm. them?
Yeah.
They are the closest to the spirit realm.
To be so pure.
Yes.
They haven't been impacted or influenced by
dogma, doctrine, social conditioning.
Right.
And there is a beautiful high... I'm not anti-religion at all. There is a high side to religious tradition. I'm more interested, though, in mystical tradition versus institutional tradition.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess the bottom line is there's nothing wrong with you. You're whole. You're perfect. You're complete. Right where you are, the presence of all that is resides. You are stardust.
Thanks for tuning in to the She Did It Her Way podcast. Did you like this episode? Head on over to iTunes.com to leave us a rating and a review. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget to check out SheDidItHerWayPodcast.com, where you can subscribe to our email list so you can receive the inside scoop on our latest episode released each Monday. Now, do us a favor and go make it a great week.